At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Jay.
Yo.
How you liking that new microphone?
I'm liking it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been all reconfigured.
You reconfigured the entire thing.
You are now disallowed
from
having negative experiences with the microphone.
Oh, I mean, I'll try.
I fixed all of your problems.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is this like a game you're playing? Just like, you're like, I'm going to prove to Jay that he's the problem by fixing the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. See, your motivations are so, like, they seem nice. They seem nice.
Okay. Let me walk the people through what has happened here. Okay, because Jay's all like, oh, my microphone stand is the worst. It's in the way all the time, and I'm always having issues with it, which is also true no matter where we are in the world. Multiple different tour dates. I've never had issues with my microphone. You've always had issues with your microphone. And despite that, you still think that it's the microphone's fault.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to fix this for Jay. Out of my heart.
Yeah.
Out of my heart.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking on the internet. I'm like, what is the industry standard? Like, what is the good microphone? Not like the Amazon Basics microphone stand. What is like the good one?
Yeah.
And I stumble across this one, and it's got like rave reviews, and people are like, stop looking. This is the one you want. Look no further. Everyone uses it.
Yeah.
The ultimate companion towards creating my art form. And I'm like, beautiful. This is perfect. So I click over, and up on Amazon, it says in the top left corner, you last purchased this on like April 7th of 2018. And I was like, well, that's really unexpected. And so I was like, just out of curiosity, let me go over to Jay's microphone stand and just see. Like, what if it was that one? Turns out, totally is that one.
It's this one right here.
It's that one right there.
This is the one.
So then I was like, okay, so I know he's been complaining about the cord. So I found a longer XLR cable, which is the cable that our microphones use.
Yeah.
I wove that around. I went and found a beefy sandbag so that your mic stand is properly supported, so it shouldn't like tip over or anything. So you are now like free and clear of any potential issues.
Okay.
There's nothing can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong.
I solved it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
And if something goes wrong, then you hereby commit to being the problem.
I will say, when I walked in here, I was like, well, something's different. And what I noticed was that the microphone was like resting on the arm of my chair. The arm was down here.
Oh.
And there, and literally the first thought went through my head was like, something's always wrong with this thing.
I try.
But no, thank you so much for fixing it.
You're welcome.
So far, it does seem better.
Yeah, good. Yeah. You sound better.
Yeah,
sound,
well, good. Yeah.
Even like a pep in your step.
Yeah.
I feel like today's going to be a good episode.
You think it's going to be a good episode?
I think it's going to be a good episode.
I think so.
Let's go. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Hey, howdy, hey there, sports fans. Ben?
Yeah.
I wasn't really even planning on talking about this, but I made the sports fans
reference,
and now I'm going to talk about the Commanders for one hot second.
Which, let me interrupt you real fast just to say that I did, and I'm going to assume, I do this.
Yeah.
Like, comments are hard, because sometimes you go into the comments and somebody will say something that cuts really deep.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but it's just like one comment.
Right.
But then at the same rate, you're like, but this is the only person who like went so far as to say it. But what if they are like representative of like a quieter group of people
who didn't say it,
who had the same thought? So like one person
said it. Because sometimes I'll go into the comments, I'll have a thought, and I'll go into the comments to see if someone else had that thought.
Yes, I do the same thing.
Yeah, I'll find it and I'll be like, this person gets it.
Right. And a lot of times I'll be like super validated. Somebody else said the thing that I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, but then I don't feel the need to say it because somebody else already said it.
Right.
So that could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to assume it's also the case for the Commanders, because we got an email from somebody who said that because we've been talking about it so much on the pop, that they have like kind of quietly been like maybe not quite so far as like a fan, but like following the Commanders like season.
Excellent.
You know, kind of long. So they have their own team, which was the Texans.
Yeah.
So but like they were like, all right, I'll pay attention to the Commanders. Yeah. I'll see what's going on.
See what's happening over there with Jane Daniels.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So all that being said, I will now let you continue to announce the latest Commanders news.
Dude, such great fun Commanders news is that they are in the playoffs.
Jay, this is our year.
This is our year. This is as close to it's been to being the Commanders' year since at least 2012.
It's been over a decade. Yes, I believe in 2020 they actually made it to the playoffs.
They made it with a losing record.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bad year for like our division.
The NFC East as a whole did terrible, as did the Commanders. Everyone in the division had a losing record, and they were somehow just the best of the worst that year.
Okay.
And made it in. I don't think they've won the first round of the playoffs in, like, I can't even remember when, because they made it in 2012 and in 2020, but neither times did they win the first round. So they've been immediately eliminated.
So this weekend, I believe at least within 2 days of this episode being launched, they will be taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Sunday Night Football. Prime time, Ben.
It's going down.
Guys, turn on that game. It's going to be nationally televised. I have not been so excited for a football game in a long time.
I know.
I'm like, history could be made.
This could be it. It could be our year.
We could go. I mean, just winning one playoff game would feel like winning the Super Bowl at this point.
It really would.
That's all I'm looking for. That until the next week when I'm like, oh my God, then I'll be brimming with confidence.
I know. Yeah. So we're in the end game now. And just as per always, thank you guys for humoring us, because I know not everybody always loves our sports talk, but it is something that gets us properly jazzed and buzzed.
Yeah.
It's
fun when suddenly your team is doing better than they have done in a long time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to ignore. Yeah. It's like, that's the thing though about, like, I think I talked about the podcaster's paradox sometime recently, which is like the aspects of your life that are probably like a little too private to share, you know, vis-a-vis the podcast.
Right.
And I feel like this is one where it's like, it's consuming too many of my thoughts to like not be able to like, you know,
I know.
Like, tone it on in a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this is too private to share.
No.
Sports is a very public thing.
I agree with you. No, that's fair. Okay. So anyway, what else do we have going on today in our lives?
Well, Ben, speaking of sports.
Yeah.
I have to say there is a new brand of competitive spirit sweeping through the halls, the headquarters of Super Carlin Brothers.
You mean Beyblades?
Yes, I do.
Wait, Jay shows up earlier this week or last week with like an entire starter set of Beyblades material.
That's right.
Of which I was like, oh gosh, just another thing to litter our kitchen island here in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it is so much fun.
Dude, I told you.
It really, really is so much fun. And I'm Pink Mammoth.
Yeah, the Tusk Mammoth.
The Tusk Mammoth,
yeah.
Which comes in a pink colored configuration.
Yes, it does.
I zeroed in on it from the beginning.
Boom.
It is my blade.
That's your blade.
Yeah. And I want to say I'm doing, like, you know, I was really genuinely kind of this mindset that was like, how can skill possibly be involved?
Yeah. I understand.
You know?
I understand.
Like, because it feels like spinning two quarters on the table while you're waiting for your drinks to arrive and seeing which one knocks the other one over.
It seems like that.
You know? Yeah. And instead, it's like, I keep winning.
And when you win, it's like it's such a good feeling.
It's like when you win, you're like, I did that.
I did it.
And then when you lose, it's like, this game is just so random.
It's so random.
Yeah, it's unpredictable.
I was worried because like I've been threatening to do this for a couple of weeks. I just sort of like joke it out there, just like, guys, I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna bring it in and show you.
Yes.
And like every time I do it, I feel like maybe there's some like, oh, that'd be funny. But like, I always tell Ethan has been like, but like, I can see like the glint in his eyes where he was like, but like actually do that.
Yes. So,
but,
okay.
Like,
so
actually do that.
Okay. So I actually think I have to credit Ethan with this. I mean, it's possible that somebody else has said it before, but he's the person who I've heard it said from. Mm-hmm. And this is, it goes back to something that I think you and I like sort of dance around all the time, which is like the like, haha, wouldn't it be so funny if I grew a beard for No Shave November? Because then I might have a beard. And it turns out I actually just kind of want a beard.
Yeah.
Or like when I did like my April Fool's Day, like arm sleeve tattoo. And it's like, ha, wouldn't it be crazy if I had a tattoo? And then it's like, because I really want to go get one.
Because I want to get one.
Soft launching. Yes. Yeah. So it's like you're like soft launching like this thing where you're like, you're saying it in a kind of like playful manner.
Right.
But then it's like what you're really doing is actually just like testing the waters.
Testing how do people react to that?
Like, wouldn't it be silly?
Wouldn't it be hilarious?
Like, but what do you guys like? What do you think?
Yeah.
Tell me honestly.
Yeah. Give me the real feedback. If I did that, is it going to be? Because a while ago, I don't know if I've told this story or not. Over a year ago or so, every now and then I'll get drawn in by like a Kickstarter on Instagram or something like that. And I was drawn in by one. It was a tabletop game as well. And It was very tactile, which I thought was really cool. But it was like a tabletop golf game.
I remember when it arrived in an office. Yeah.
Yes. And I remember like as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is a slam dunk. This is a slam dunk. I am super excited about this game. Here's how it's going to, in my brain, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to get to work extra early whenever this game finally arrives to me. I am going to set it up on the island. People are going to walk in. They're going to be like, oh my God, what is this? And I'm going to show them the flicking golf mechanic, because you have like these little ball bearings inside of like plastic like containers.
Okay.
And you would flick them and that would be your stroke or whatever. And I was like, and it's going to be so addictive and fun, and it's going to be like a cool thing we do in the office.
Yes. And you know what? I feel like we do this all the time where like we will find some type of like inner office activity that becomes like our distraction. And this like quiet part of me like will always resent it a little bit because I'm like, oh, we should be working. And I feel really guilty that like we're having fun right now.
Yeah.
But then at the same rate, like once it goes away, I'm like, remember the good old days when we did this?
And remember?
It's like, and like, I always remember it with such fondness. So maybe I should just let it go.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe.
It's like there are moments when we're having fun and it's like, you know what? Just take solace in the fact that you're having fun at work.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
That's anyway, the goal.
So continue.
So
what happened with tabletop golf?
Well, as
I don't remember.
Oh, well, it was a Kickstarter. So like first it had to hit the funding goal and then they had to go through the entire production process. And as ever, you get all the emails and they're like, we're sorry about the delays. Oh my God, this was a problem. Great news. We succeeded in this way. You know, it was like a whole journey.
Yes.
Just going through the emails. And finally, months and months later, they had made enough and shipped them out and arrived at my house. And I was like, today's the day I'm going to do it. I've been waiting for this for so long. I got to work early. I cleared off the island. I set up the whole thing in there. And then people came in. And I think like people were like, oh, that's interesting. And they did like one or two flicks. And they're like, well, time to work, I guess. And I was like, it completely fell flat.
Oh, no.
I know. I was like, oh, maybe I built it up. Maybe my expectations were too high. Maybe too high.
So this is funny because it's like that means you were experiencing like a much greater level of crushing disappointment than I think anybody in the room could have realized.
I don't know if it was like crushing
Jay.
The disappointment abound,
I
Ben.
I could see the devastation that's still hiding just beneath the surface of your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like we needed this moment to talk it out, didn't
right,
we?
Right, absolutely.
You know, get it off your chest.
Right.
We're experiencing it. We're handling the pointy object that is the trauma of this disappointment.
I thought in my mind, because like I think I enjoy like tabletop games in a way maybe more than the other people at the office. Oh, well, maybe not Isabel. She plays a lot.
I think she does. Yeah. It actually is quite remarkable to me how often she will come in the morning. I'm like, oh, what did you do last night? She's like, I played Catan.
Yeah. She'll like played Catan or just played video games or whatever. But I thought like, and so it's hard to like, you know, even if you're at work, it's hard to like sit down and play an entire game. But I thought this would be like the novelty of it would be so high that it was so like walk up, do it, walk away that it would be like it would catch on. It had claws. You know?
You mean the Beyblades?
No, the golf.
Golf. Okay. Yeah. We're back on golf.
We're back on golf.
Okay.
That's what I thought, and I was like, well, maybe not. Who knows? Maybe if we busted it out again, it would be different. But so then the kids were playing the Beyblades at home, and I was, you know, I've talked about it on the pop a bunch, and I've had people like texting me about it and everything. Like mom and dad are like all in on it and stuff. It's very funny.
Oh, this is such a good one, I think, for mom and dad, because it is such a highly giftable thing.
Yeah.
And we were like, we went from Luke's birthday at late November, like right into the holiday season.
Yes, we did.
Where it's like, okay, which ones do you have?
Exactly.
We need more. We need a carrying case.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I did get a case for them.
Did you?
Yes,
oh,
I did.
Oh, that's so good.
It is highly giftable. It is endlessly fun for the kids. It is still fun for, and then it's like, but I'm playing it with it and I'm like, I'm having fun too.
Yeah. That, you know? And that is truly the best.
Yeah.
When it's like, when you find an activity to do, because there are some activities where you do feel like your brain is going just a scooch numb.
Yeah.
While you're doing it.
Yes.
Which, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's like, as long as they're happy, which
right.
is the most important thing. But yeah, it is nice when you stumble, like Magnetiles are right. like this for me, where I'm like,
Magnetiles are a great,
I'm just
gift.
Building.
Yes. That's super fun. And so, but then there's also like enough, like higher level, I don't know, strategy to it that there's like, you know, YouTubers that do just Beyblade stuff and things like that. So
yeah.
there's like, it's a very good intersection of like kids toy and like adult thing that like I can really connect with the kids on.
Right.
Yes. So then I was like, okay, but I'm just going to bring one to the office then and see if everyone, maybe it's like, is it just me or is it actually really fun?
No, it's really fun.
It is really fun. Yeah. Like, so when I got there, like, you know, at the same thing, everyone came in and played, and what really made my heart sing when I brought it in was when people were playing and I was not involved.
Yes.
Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like we came up, me and you, we were both downstairs recording Gryffindor one day, and we came upstairs and just the staff was just playing. And I was like, this makes me so happy. I was so happy in that moment.
That is the kind of workplace that we are dealing with. I can see it sagging. I can yeah. see your microphone okay. sagging.
I want it to be clear that I have actively not touched yeah. anything, and I am like down here.
I know. I could see your neck tilting, and I was like, okay. Oh no.
Oh no. See, right. so you, I have touched nothing.
You can lift it. You can lift nothing. It. Okay. Okay. There we go.
There we go.
Once again,
okay.
this is the problem. Like, you know how when we say, like, when we were in high school, whenever we felt like really good about like our outfit, like we'd always walk in, like our fly or something was down.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of like luck we have. I imposed confidence outwardly that I had perfectly fixed your microphone situation,
right, exactly,
which all but ensured its imminent failure.
That yeah, something would go yeah, awry. Yeah,
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I should have knocked on wood. I should have been less stitious. Anyway, so no, but back to Beyblading. Yeah, this is the kind of work environment we have here at the old SCB, which is when you stumble upon your staff playing a game,
yes.
and you're like, good. Yay.
Yay.
It worked.
It worked.
They're playing games without me.
They're playing the games. They are interested in the blades. It's so fun. So yeah, now the next milestone is if anyone brings their own, if they do extracurricular.
Yeah. Can you, so I'm imagining like I have like a belt bag, I don't know, that like I usually wear like on vacations and stuff.
Oh yeah, I know the very one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a Lululemon black bag.
Yeah.
And I just sort of like shoulder strap it, and it's very convenient. It's like, yeah, I feel safer about all my goods in there while I'm traveling.
Yeah.
But I like to think now that like I would show up and it's like, it's just got all my blades in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's just like, hey, hold on.
Hang on, let me pull them out.
And all your blades, you have blades beyond the mammoth?
I was literally just about to say the words as if I would have any more than just the mammoth.
Just the mammoth.
I have one blade.
You have one. That's it. I play the mammoth. That said, they do make like, so if you have a blade, I would say my blade is the shark.
The
keel shark.
I mean, kind of that's embarrassing the one. For you, but
oh,
you know.
I mean, I don't know about that.
Mammoths are way cooler than sharks, and it's not even close.
Okay. Guess who's still around?
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
staying power.
I'm like making this claim, and I'm like, sharks are pretty dope.
Sure, yeah, I was like, all right.
They have some redeeming qualities.
They do. A lot of teeth, perhaps. A lot of teeth.
Their skin feels very interesting.
Yeah.
It's very like sandy, yeah. sandpapery or
sand
something.
Papery.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
You wouldn't want to like rub it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you kind of like need to feel what it feels like.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, do it from like a safe distance.
I'm not trying to like rub too many sharks in general.
I guess, you know, I've gone too far with the bit. I don't know. I don't know why I became so obsessed with touching sharks. It's like, this feels like bad. This seems, it's like a bad motivation to be promoting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go out and just touch a shark.
Yeah. Somebody's like, it's like Ben was really talking up.
He was like, you got to touch sharks, man.
Touch sharks. Yeah. It's like touching. I don't even know. I'm afraid to say the words because I it could be like one of those things that's completely fine, but maybe it's also like a degrading sentiment.
Okay.
But it's like just like touching grass.
Oh, touching grass.
Have you heard about this phenom?
I have heard about it. I've heard it. I feel like it's used in two ways. One in like a metaphorical sense, like you need to go touch grass or something, like, you know, ground yourself back to reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like in a, out of like a dream state or something. Okay. Like you're a little too head in the clouds. But then I've also heard like very, very literally people like waking up and just like standing outside barefoot in the grass.
So that was my exact sentiment there. Yeah. Cause I feel like I've heard it like in a derogatory sense almost. Derogatory feels like a stretch, but you've become too disconnected from reality. You need to go touch grass.
Yeah.
Which feels like it could be harder to receive. Mm-hmm. Harder to receive. Because it feels like what the person is basically saying is I know more and you need to get back to reality or something.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, yeah, like I have plenty of like friends, and I remember watching like that like Down to Earth with Zac Efron TV show.
Okay.
I remember they like traveled internationally, and like one of the like tips they had was like when you land to like reset your circadian rhythm or something.
Interesting.
You can go and like literally stand barefoot like in grass, and it's supposed to like sort of like, I don't know, change the magnetic poles of your body or something to be better infused with the new environment.
I certainly am not educated enough to comment on that.
I started throwing a bunch of my own words.
Okay.
In there, my own techno babble for extreme clarity.
That sound, I mean, on the surface, it sounds like a little hokey, but I'm not saying it doesn't work. Even there's a very good chance that like if you believe that works and you go do it, you like placebo your body into it or something.
Well,
which also counts, I think.
I think it also counts because I think sometimes there's like little proactive things that you can be doing. Like you talk about it a lot, like just preparing the coffee the night before. Mm-hmm. It's like you've done a thing that sets you in a better headspace the following morning. Like,
yeah,
you've started the day by already having preemptively like set yourself ahead.
Yeah.
And on a similar note, like Alice and I, back several years ago when I was doing 75 Hard, I read this book called like What Doesn't Kill Us. And I think I've talked about it here recently on the pop, but it's the like Wim Hof breathing method, which is this idea of basically being able to sort of like mind over matter yourself to be like exposed to extreme cold.
Okay.
And there's all these like, you know, proclaimed health benefits to doing like cold plunges or like ice baths and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that because the popularity of this practice has grown enormously, so has some of the like associated like skepticism of doing it. And I think that on the whole, there's like a limited amount of like verifiable, solid scientific research behind it. But the thing I can tell you is that like, and I've like talked to, you know, some other people in my life, including a couple of like, you know, doctors that I go and see and stuff like that. And I'm just sort of like, what do you guys think of like the ice baths? And they're sort of like, well, like I know the claims, I've done it myself. And like very anecdotally, when I do it, it kind of fires me up and I feel more energetic. And like,
right,
there's sort of that like either dopamine or like serotonin hit inside of your brain of like having done like a thing.
Yeah.
And so like I think for me and Alice, like we keep doing them at night. We put like the a long time ago we did the Frozen quiz on Jay versus Ben.
Yeah.
Where for every question we got wrong, we had to do 10 seconds.
It was long.
Inside the barrel. And we like literally went up there, and because the baths had been like on the roof in the cold in December, we had to like knock the ice free in the whole thing. And then do, you know, I think like 15, 60 seconds each. Anyway, so I brought one of those tubs home. I put it in my basement, and then every night me and Alice are like bringing our like bucket of ice that's been made in our freezer, and we're dumping it in there, and we're like doing these ice baths together.
Right.
And each time we do it, we're both super fired up, and it's really fun. And it's like, you know, we high five and we're proud of each other, and we like encourage each other and stuff like that. And it's just sort of like, I don't know, it's like kind of pure silliness.
No, I mean, it's
but it's working.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's like, there. I mean, I think there probably are, I mean, like there have to be effects from it. Like at the very least, I'm sure it reduces swelling in general.
Because
cold, and that's probably good for you. And almost certainly it increases blood flow because all your blood's going to be like rushing to your skin all of a sudden and stuff to try to like warm you up. So like, I'm sure there are real scientific benefits to doing it.
Right.
Yeah. And like, as far as like touching grass and stuff, like I have heard otherwise that like, you know, whether it matters that your bare feet are touching bare earth, I don't know, but I think a lot of people do this as like as the sun's coming up and you're supposed to do it for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yep.
And so I think the real benefit might be that you're outside getting sunlight for like 10 or 15 minutes in the morning.
Sure. Sure. You know? Yep. And I mean, it's another one of those things too, where it's like, if you were to go back to like days, and like a more primitive capacity before we would have had like our like air conditioned homes and stuff like that, I suppose there would have been like an era of time where when the sun came up, it hit you like you were exposed to where the sun was.
I know it
from.
Seems like there's like there, it does feel like there could be like an evolutionary side to like your body's relationship with the sun in the morning.
Right. You know, right. I mean, certainly plenty of other animals have these kinds of characteristics. Some animals only interact at night, some during the day. So yeah. I guess it vaguely makes sense in that general sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So have you done it? Have you gone? Do you touch grass in the morning?
I that's one I have not done. Okay. I've not done personally. I could potentially see the benefit. I think it's another one of those things where it's like probably the practice of just going and being out there and it's sort of, I think it's another thing I brought up last week, but it's sort of like just simply being intentional, like doing something on purpose.
Yeah.
I think like can also go a long
way. I think that's true too. Like if you're out there and you're like, I'm going to go outside intentionally and then try to intentionally like jumpstart my day by doing this thing, like chances are it works because you're being intentional about it.
Right. 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 Yes.
Like, I mean, if you're out, I doubt you're just like hobbling outside, like I gotta go touch grass. Oh my gosh. And you just like hobble back inside. You know?
Right. Right. Like chances are, if you're doing this, you're kind of enthusiastic about it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Which I guess I was maybe like inadvertently doing this when I was like in garden season.
Yeah. Because,
you know, like, I mean, I love nothing more every morning than waking up and getting my coffee and, like, walking out to the garden and inspecting. You're just like, yeah, yeah, look at that. Look at that one go. Yeah,
we needed this rain.
We got to get on my sprinklers. Okay, yeah. I see so many Instagram posts that are like, letter people like, you know, I don't know what I thought my 30s would be like, but I didn't know, you know, but I've definitely become that guy who just like stares at his plants in the morning. I'm like, that is me.
Yes. Yes. There is something about it. Yeah. Well, and you know, it reminds me so much of, I remember when I was in college, and this would go back to like the era of my life where I was really, really, really into this, like, probably that more like ambition-y kind of personality. Like, yeah. I think that forever, like my big thing is I always want control over like what I'm able to do. So like, I remember like when I first turned like 16 and got like my first job, like my absolute favorite thing to do with all of my brand new paychecks was to like go out to dinner and like order an appetizer.
Yes.
You know,
I know exactly what you mean.
And it was like, you know, when we would go out like as a family, and I mean, to be completely fair to mom and dad, there were, you know, five of us, which meant that going out to dinner can be very expensive very quickly. But like, you would always sit down, you'd open up the menu and you'd see like, you know, mozzarella sticks or nachos or whatever, like at the top, you know, right there at the top of the menu. And you're like, mom, can we get nachos? And she's like, no, we're not getting nachos.
Right.
You know, and it's like, appetizers never felt like they were available. So then once all of a sudden I could go and like do this on my own, it was like, ho-ho.
Oh, I'm getting the nachos.
I'm doing this for sure.
I know. I know.
And so then once I was in college, I was really, really, really into my aquariums. And the thing about aquariums and realistically just all hobbies is that they're just expensive.
Yeah.
Like, there is always like a better tier version of whatever you currently have. You know, you can always continue to climb the ladder. You can always get a more sophisticated piece of equipment. And
right.
Specifically,
you can always
like,
get a rarer fish.
You can always get a rarer fish. But the thing that I really, really, really liked was that, like, corals inside of the aquarium world are like their trading cards. So, like, you could buy a single polyp of a coral and it might cost you $25 or something. But then if you could get it to grow into like 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 polyps, then you could go in there like with a scalpel and literally like break them off into individual pieces, literally use super glue to take the coral and attach it to like a new piece of like ceramic or tile or whatever.
Yeah.
And grow more of them. And then if you were to go like on the forums, you could then post these corals and sell them for, you know, I'm going to call big air quotes on profit.
Profit.
Because you probably invested a lot in getting to this particular point.
Right.
Anyway. And so a lot of times for me, what I would do, you know, with my college budget of $0,
right,
was go and sit on an upside down bucket in front of my aquarium and just like stare at the corals, like willing them to grow.
Just manifest.
Yeah. And I think what was always so terrible about that was, Because my system was so immature, and because even though in my head, every time I moved, I would go and like live somewhere for 9 months.
Yeah.
Which at the time felt like forever.
Right.
You know, I would move into these places as if I was going to live there forever.
Yeah.
You know, and then 9 months later, you just break it all back down and pack up and move.
Right.
And what aquariums really like is long-term stability.
More
like,
than 9 months.
Like years.
Yeah.
And years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, nothing ever really took off. And so now I think my great fascination with plants is they grow.
They grow.
Plants grow fast.
They want to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they work, and it's not nearly as difficult, and you can like touch them. They're just like right there.
Then you can eat them.
And then in some cases you can eat them.
You can eat them.
Oh,
I know.
Glorious.
Glorious. I was thinking about what I was going to try and grow this year. I was like, "You know what feels like it might be on the table? Broccoli."
I know.
That sounds like a good one.
That was a good one. I tried to grow Brussels sprouts a couple of years ago. Oh. Which I don't know if it's in the same vein as broccoli or not. They seem like they're both very stemmy.
They do, sure.
You know, but the Brussels sprout plant, straight up fascinating looking.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Also, I was thinking beans.
Oh, you know? Beans. Yeah, beans. I think that's just a popular
right up
one.
A pole, right?
You know? Just right up a
get
pole.
Get tons of harvest off that, maybe.
When I was a kid, probably more like 15, I had grown, and so I was quite tall, and we were running cross country, so I was quite skinny.
Yeah.
And my mom called me Beanpole.
Ah, yes.
Because my name is Ben.
Yeah.
And so like sense. Ben Bean. Beanpole.
Beanpole.
Yeah.
String Bean. Yeah.
String
all
Bean.
That, all that. String Bean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Someone no doubt called me that at some point in time.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt at all.
Yeah. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. I don't know about y'all, but everything seems to be getting more expensive, whether it's at the grocery store or the latest notification from a streaming service letting you know that prices went up again. But one company is doing the opposite. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless services starting at just $15 a month. And you might be thinking, like, what? That's too good to be true. How could they possibly? Well, I have the answer. Mint is the first company to sell their services online only, meaning they don't have to pay for the overhead of expensive brick and mortar stores like the competition. And also, let's be real, if you've got a New Year's resi to try and save more money, Mint Mobile is a great jumping off point. $15 is a quarter of what I was paying on my last plan, meaning that I'm saving over $500 next year just by switching to Mint. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey, you guys, we've made it to a new year. Happy 2025. It's good for you, good for us. And as usual, it's time to start figuring out, you know, what kind of hopes and dreams we've got for 2025. And what better goal than to try and learn a new language? I mean, I took Latin in high school, which was, you know, it was an easy class, but like, I can't speak another language now. So, you know, that I always kind of felt bad about that. But I mean, for one, learning a new language expands your brain, which is always good. But maybe you've also got like travel on your list. list of things to do, and a new language helps unlock new destinations as well, because it's like if life was a video game and now you get to enter that whole new world, and there's no better way to learn a new language than with the most trusted name in the game, Rosetta Stone. It's available as an app or on desktop and truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. You might be hesitant or even think, ugh, but it'll take forever to learn a new language. But don't fret, because not with Rosetta Stone. It is set up for fast language acquisition. It is designed to teach you how to speak, listen, and even think in that language, which is just like so cool. So start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can take advantage of this Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today!
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Dude, okay. Let me move on to Obik at the Peak here.
Okay, wait on me.
I've been reading a book called Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome, should I read it?
Well, maybe. Maybe. I'll get to the end and tell you. Okay. I suspect yes.
Okay.
Based on, I'm only about 10% of the way through here.
You're 10% of the way through and it's your Wick of the Peak?
Yeah.
Jay, that's high praise.
It's high praise. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's been entertaining for sure. Absolutely. Okay. And it did win the Pulitzer Prize in 1986. So,
okay,
I know, but so it's a little bit older.
What brought you across this particular book? Or were you just doing the classic late night scroll of Pulitzer Prize winning novels?
I'll tell you what brought me across it, and this was a big sell for me. Okay,
yep.
So one of Luke's best buds in the world, his name is Gus. I'm sure I think you've met him.
I've met Gus.
You've met Gus.
Yeah, a true delight.
Short
of a human being.
For Augustus.
Okay,
as you might imagine. Well, I thought, you know, not that unusual of a name or anything.
Sure.
Per se. But it turns out, Beth was talking to me the other night, and she was like, she asked me if I'd ever heard of Lonesome Dove. And I was like, nope, haven't heard of it or whatever. And she's like, well, apparently Luke's friend Gus is named after the main character in the book. And I was like, what? No. Really?
Shocking.
I was like, Augustus is named, like, Gus is named after this book. And then I was like, well, what's it about? And she's like, I think it's like a Western or something, which immediately in my brain was like, what? And she was like, yeah, I guess it's like his dad's favorite book. And I was like, I've never, what? I was floored. I was like, he liked the book so much that he named his son after the main character.
Does this mean that I can name a child Quoth?
Absolutely it does.
Can you imagine?
Dude, I was so dangerous to going down such a name of the wind rabbit hole right before we did the pop.
At one point in time, you just stood up and you said, Cyphus bears the blue flame with no other context.
Ben, we got distracted almost immediately. Cyphus bears the blue flame. Cyphus then being one of the Chandrian. But then in there's like various stories about Tabalon the Great.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, Tabalon the Great. You know him from Name of the Wind.
Right.
About where he is fighting against some like sorcerer king in the past with this coin key and candle, yeah. Much similar to our beloved Quoth.
Okay.
And the sorcerer king's name is Cyphus.
Oh.
It's just spelled differently, but it's Cyphus.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, Cyphus bears the blue flame. Cyphus isn't Cinder or anything. You know, which seems like it would have to be the one you're going after, but he is a king, and Quoth is hunting the Chandrian, and it's called the King Killer Chronicles, and there's been no king yet, except that he's almost the same as Tabalon the Great, and Tabalon the Great definitely destroys a king.
This sounds a lot like endoplasmic encladization.
It is exactly that.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It is exactly endoplasmic encladation.
I think we just lost half our audience.
We did. I'm sorry. We got lost on there. Anyway.
Anyway, Gus is named after Augustus.
Yes. So just upon learning this fact, I was like, this is okay. All right. I'm very interested to know what story sold Gus's dad so hard that he named his child after the character.
Yes, yes,
in the book.
That's a big one.
I know. So I went as far as I recently, a couple months ago, I just like turned off my Audible subscription because I had like 5 credits and I was like behind on books and stuff.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm just going to turn this off or whatever. I downloaded a bunch so that I would backlog it, send sure. it for, because if you turn it off and you haven't spent your credits, they'll go away. But if you spend the credits and then you turn it off, you get to keep those books.
I had no idea that was the case.
It is. Oh, because I did that before. I was like, well, when I wanted them, I'll just turn it back on and then I'll just have the credits. Or even when I'll just turn it off and I'll keep the credits. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're going to turn Audible off, go ahead and just spend them
okay.
first.
Yeah. Okay. Don't save them for a rainy
day. Don't save them for a rainy day.
Because then the rainy day is going to come and you're going to want them. I know. You're not going to have them.
So I could have. And then I was like, oh, but this is the first time since then. I'm like, I really got to check out this new book, old book. But I didn't want to turn my Audible thing back on just for that.
Sure.
So I went as far as to go to the public library and get a library card for the first time in like 2 decades.
Whoa.
I know. So that's pretty fun. I have a library card again.
Man, brag much?
I know. Well, here's the real brag is that while we were there, Beth was like, you want to see my library card? And I was like, sure. Doesn't it look just like mine? And it doesn't, because it's the library card she got when she was a kid.
What?
That still works.
She has the same library card?
The same
card?
One.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was so impressed. That was quite a flex. I was like, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah. It's like, this feels like a new thing where it's like, I want to see your library card.
You want to see my library card?
Yeah. I mean, like a generic question to like all people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got a library card?
Yeah.
Is it on you right now?
It's not. It's in my car.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it inside of your cool little dashboard
thing?
It's
some kind of dashboard thing. Yeah.
Jay's dashboard has this like screen thing that you can like lift up and then like put little knickknacks in this like hidden cubby.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
I would put treasure in there just because.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got like some charms and stuff in it.
Yeah. That counts for something.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Okay. You have to tell me about this book before I die of curiosity.
Okay. Well, yeah. I went to the library so that I could download the app Hoopla, which is just like free ebooks. Well, not free, but like you check out like audiobooks and like ebooks from it for free.
Wow.
I know. So just like, I don't know why everyone doesn't have library cards, because there's just free stuff out
there.
It's
just free books.
You're in a library and get free stuff. You just get free stuff.
It is like one of those things where it's like, I feel like libraries have gotten bad reps, but I mean, not really. Like, I mean, not that anybody has other like the library.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is funny to me that we literally have these like funded locations that are designed to spread information.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's like, in my head, they don't have anything entertaining, but of course they do, because books are incredibly entertaining.
Yes.
It's like, meanwhile, Blockbuster over there, I mean, technically they're out of business, but at one point in time, it was like you would go and like pay sums of money with like all sorts of like late fees and stuff to get access to much shorter entertainment. Yeah.
Right. To rent things for a shorter time with stiffer late fees.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, go get a library card and use Hoopla and Libby, which are both just free apps, and you can get free stuff. Anyway, not the point. The point is, I went to all that trouble just so I could listen to Lonesome Dove, which I'm only 10% of the way through. And I have to say, I've never read like a cowboy book before at all.
Okay.
Have you?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I didn't, you know, I don't even watch like Western movies very much.
Yep.
Yep. Right, so
I really know was the... And then like, you know, like the close up shot on like the hip with like the holster and like the person like
and
it pops like the little like snap button off or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, and then they like sort of like flex their fingers
flex
for some reason. Does that help? Like it must.
It's just like, yeah, you're just getting those fingers ready for that quick draw, I guess.
Maybe that's like where jazz hands originally came from.
From cowboys.
It's like cowboys' real quiet secret legacy, jazz hands.
Yeah. There it is. But I will say that so far it is very captivating. Like, they haven't even done anything yet. You know, it's just been like going around the town, kind of getting to know the characters.
Have there been wonderful descriptions of leather?
There are not a ton. Oh. There's a guy who wears like his pants are like all made out of like patchwork quilt stuff, and he just keeps repairing them over and over and over. So it's just sort of like never ended like quilted pants.
The like pants of Theseus?
I guess so, yeah. They kind of all keep making fun of him. Like, you can't wear quilted pants on a ranch or whatever. And he's like, no, gotta be quilted.
Gotta be quilted. It's gotta be.
Any chance he gets, he goes and gets his thread out of the barn and patches his pants.
Okay, I'm dying to read this already book now. I'm like, and if anything, I'm also like, I want on that trend now.
On that
quilted pants? Yes, absolutely.
Quilted pants. There he is. There's another guy who's got a hat and he just uses it for like his ashtray and stuff. It's like really disgusting and they all hate it.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Another guy who was wearing a sheepskin jacket for a long time that also just never took off. And eventually he was like out and someone burned it because of the lice or something.
Wow.
I don't know. It's all. There's lots of funny clothing descriptors.
Is it supposed to be funny or is
I think it's supposed to be funny. It's like a dry humor.
Okay.
So the guy, Augustus, I guess he's the main character. It like switches point of view quickly.
Okay.
A lot of, you know, they'll be like sitting around a fire or something to be like, you know, Augustus noticed this and said that, and then it'll switch over and they're like, then Captain Carl said whatever.
Captain Carl?
Caw. Yeah, Captain Caw. Okay. Yeah. I think it's Call. Sorry.
Captain Call. Okay.
Not Captain anymore, but they all still think of him as Captain, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like when somebody like retires from like coaching in the NFL and they go become one of the broadcasters and then everybody calls him coach and it's like,
not really a coach anymore.
All right.
It's exactly what it is.
Okay.
So Captain Call and Augustus are in business together running just like a ranch, basically. Although in the middle of nowhere in the town of Lonesome Dove, and they just sell cattle and horses and stuff like that, and they go round them up and things. But Augustus is indeed hilarious.
Is he really?
He is a very fun character. He reminds me endlessly of our Uncle Bill.
Oh, no way.
It is like someone has written him into existence in the book. And it is like, he's just got like a wisecrack and a quip and a one-liner for everything.
Wow.
For every situation. He is constantly talking and our Uncle Bill lived in like Massachusetts, but like on a farm, they dealt with horses and stuff. And it was just like the exact kind of like humor and stuff. So I'm really enjoying that aspect of it a lot.
Okay.
But the real thing that is taking effect on me, Ben, is that I'm listening to it as an audiobook.
Okay.
And the narrator, as you might expect, is just real cowboy himself.
Okay.
Or at least has the voice down for sure. And a lot of times if I listen to Harry Potter, it's not like I start talking in a British accent.
Right.
Or anything. Right. Okay. But like, this book has got like a Western accent on it, and it's just close enough to where we grew up, the accent of the people where we grew up, that like, if I'm listening to it for too long, it will immediately start reverting me into this like very country, like, way of talking.
That is extremely funny.
And I'm like Beth was like, you're like, I noticed you were like kind of like in a good mood or like talking kind of like silly. And I was like, I'm not even trying to.
I love it. Yes. I love it. Oh my gosh. And this is really funny because it reminds me of something. I was like, I've been watching all these like bushcraft camping videos and stuff like that. And I've been really into it. And so I was driving home from work yesterday and I was like, you know, I should try to find like a bushcraft podcast that I could listen to because, you know, it's just like, let me just see if there's anything out
there.
See
what you can learn.
And so immediately I just, you know, I type in bushcraft podcast and I click the top one and, you know, I'm like listening for 20 minutes on the drive home. And right away, you know, the guy starts talking and he's from Appalachia, which is from where we live.
Yep.
But more like the sort of like West Virginia, Tennessee, like Kentucky area,
right.
I think.
Yeah, a little more Western than us.
Yes, yeah. And so, but I mean, he, you know, definitely comes from like a small town, you know, like a place that didn't have like running water and stuff like that. And he like was speaking with this really specific accent and he's like, I just want to get this out of the way early. Like, it's like, you might hear me say like words that don't feel like words. And it's like, I want you to know that it's not that I don't know how to speak proper English, but I am indulging myself by speaking how I grew up speaking. And I loved that phrasing of I'm indulging myself by speaking the way that I grew up speaking.
That's funny.
I was like that could be an indulgence.
Right.
You know, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because then all of a sudden I was wondering, because we grew up in a pretty like you know, accented town.
We did, yeah. And, very southern.
And as kids, we had accents.
Yes, we did.
And so sometimes, like, I'm not good at voices or anything. Yeah. And so, like, when we've done, like, Dungeons and Dragons and stuff in the past, I'm like, should I just bust out, like, my Franklin County, Virginia accent?
Yeah.
And then, when I heard him say that phrase that I'm indulging this, I was like, am I holding it back?
Maybe you are.
Like, how wild would that be? That, like, you've learned how to speak, like, what I think is a pretty, like, neutral accent for an American. Like, I mean, we say,
oh, yeah.
We say y'all
yeah.
quite often, which, mm-hmm. which is probably, like, the big, like, little, like, you know, you must be at least somewhat South adjacent.
Maybe. I feel like y'all is, like, spreading in popularity, though, because it just makes more sense than, like, you guys.
It absolutely makes more yeah. sense than you
use
guys.
Use guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So I mean, I like that, though. I like the idea of y'all just being, like, mass adopted. But
yeah.
I think that's, like, the one thing that we say with extreme regularity that would probably give us away. But I'm, like, I'm so curious. I'm, like, I want to see if I can take the wall down in my brain, you know, like
the y'all down in your brain?
The y'all.
Take, like, the y'all, like, out, man.
Like, I don't know. Is it just left in me? Is it just
it's
there?
It's absolutely there. Yes. Yeah, it's yeah. not like you have to, like, pick it up. You can just do it.
I can just do it. Like, yeah. I could just start talking, you know, in that particular way.
Could you do it?
Now I feel like I'm on the spot.
Well, yeah, now you're thinking about it over
now,
there.
Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah. But, like, is it, like, if just because I can do it, the question is whether or not that's my real voice.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you're, like, constantly concealing what your, like, actual accent is.
But that was the way that I interpreted this gentleman's way of speaking.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, oh, that's fascinating.
I have no idea. My suspicion is that his accent is probably significantly thicker than ours ever was if he, like, grew into, you know, from childhood into adulthood in yep. an even more southern place than we grew up.
True.
And since then has maybe had to, like, consciously dial it back for the sake of, like, professionalism or something.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't, maybe. I don't know. It's not that unprofessional to have a southern accent or anything.
No, no, you know? No. Yes, naturally. I wish I could think of the example, like, you know, it's he had, like, a word that he said, and he's like, you know, he's like, I know that that's not the word, but, like, you know, I'm going to say it because that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, aha, cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, it would just be so funny to me if it was like, no, you have a different voice. You're just choosing to not use it. You've not used it for so long. You've, like that muscle is so weak
right.
that you don't even know how to, like, tap back into it.
Yeah. You're just like, you know, you've adopted too hard on your non-regional diction. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is actually a really funny one as well, because our parents are both from New York.
Yes.
And I would say that, at least one of our aunts, which would be our mom's sister, has, like, a much stronger New York accent than mom does.
Yeah.
And that is another one of those things that always fascinates me, because, like, sometimes we will be, like, spending time with her and she will, like, pronounce things in different ways than I'm used to. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. But, like, you know, because she comes from, like, a different part of the world. And I'm like, the same part of the world that our mom comes from.
Right.
The same upbringing that our mom had. And I'm like, isn't that wild?
Right. I mean,
granted, she lived in New York all the way into adulthood and mom moved here after college. So she's been here for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah. Longer.
Yeah. 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 So it's a much, much easier to have, like, let it go during that particular time. But I'm like, oh, how interesting. Anyway.
Yeah. There you go. So anyway, you know, she took out Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay, good.
I mean, yeah, I'm extremely sold on it.
Awesome.
I like the idea of the very fascinating clothing types.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder whether or not, like, the author, like, was able to go through and discover, like, little isms that people were doing out of, like, necessity during this period of time, but it's, like, sort of taken each of those, like, little anecdotal examples and brought them into, like, storybook character right. things.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's like, I don't know if these are all like Western tropes or something.
Right.
Or not. But it's like, or if it's just like a way of like defining the characters from one another. It's yes. like the two main guys, Captain Call and Augustus, they are like pretty established. But then they've got like, you know, a bunch of like just hands with them or whatever. And they definitely have their roles to play. But like, you know, so far the difference between like Dish and Newt, not super obvious yet, you know.
They're difference sort of, between Dish and Newt?
Yeah, Dish.
Those are two characters.
Those are two characters, yeah.
Okay, how do you spell Newt?
I guess N-E-W-T.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Yep. You want to know what else I find kind of interesting? And it's changing topics ever so slightly.
Do it.
But it's, okay, if you were to go, like, we are all people.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know, like, we all live in the people that we could go out on the street and see. Also live in Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginians. United Statesians. Also
Americans.
Americans.
Yes.
And yet, if you were to take any one person and have them be your roommate at random, true or false, they would do things inside of their home differently than you.
Oh, true.
How weird is that?
Right.
Like
how, every single person does things differently.
Yeah. Like, do you think it's a problem for beavers to run into other beavers that do things very differently from the way that those beavers do beavering?
No, I don't think so.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like, but it's so wild to me. And maybe it's just that like we have so many options mm-hmm. on how to go about doing things.
Sure.
And there's like a million different philosophies that you could enact, and the way that you buy your groceries. Like, do you shop for a week or do you shop for the evening?
Right.
You know, or like what kind of toothbrush do you use? Or mm-hmm. like whatever. You know, like there's, I mean, I feel like I'm giving terrible examples, but like, you know, there's so many different approaches to every single aspect of living that if you were to take 100 different people and experience 10 weeks of them being your roommate, I think you'd have 100 completely different experiences.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
How weird is that?
It's crazy.
It's like, we're all living in the same area. We have all of these things in common, and yet we are all so radically different from literally every other person.
It is mind boggling for sure. And I mean, like that, you know, people get, you know, sometimes you, when people get married, they start living with their spouse for the first time at that point. And this is otherwise the person they know best in the world.
Yes.
And they can be like vastly different in how they like cohabitate suddenly.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of like, I did not know that this was what your bedtime routine looked like.
Right, exactly.
You know, or that you cook eggs in this particular way. Or
exactly.
You don't use the fan on the oven, or do use the fan on the oven.
Exactly.
Huh. All fascinating.
All fascinating.
Now I'm like curious, like what are the most unusual things? Have you encountered anything? Was there anything you and Beth did differently?
Boy, nothing like immediately jumps out. Because we did not live together before we got married.
Okay.
But like it wasn't like a huge adaptation. Like, I don't know, maybe because we were dating for so long before we got married.
Right.
There wasn't like a huge adjustment period where it was like, boy, this is a lot to get used to.
Okay.
Or anything for me. I know this is not a great example given what you just said.
No, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I mean, maybe you and Beth are just made for each other.
Well, obviously, you know, clearly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You did get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live life and all that. Yeah. I would say for me and Alice, one of the things was that like growing up, it was not uncommon for us to do dinner at the table every night.
Yeah.
Like that was sort of like
for me and you.
Yes.
Yes.
For like our family, it was like, you know, when dinner was ready, you came in and sat at the table and ate dinner.
Yeah.
And Alice, like I remember early on, like, you know, we'd be dating and like, what do we do for dinner tonight? And she's like, we can just snack. Like, you know, like we'll cut up some salami, some cheeses, pickles, crackers, like, you know, whatever. And like, that'll just be dinner. And I'm like, what?
No, that's not dinner.
That's not. I'm like, you know, but like, I mean, it's funny because like her whole family sort of has like some version of this, like,
we'll just snack.
But like, but it's not like just snacking. It's not like, let's just have like potato chips for dinner. Like it will involve multiple food groups. You know, there will be like fruits, vegetables, meats, grains, like that type of thing. Like all of the elements will be represented, but like it will be like, why don't we have like a handful of grapes and salami and crackers and, you know,
like a charcuterie board.
Like a charcuterie board or something, yes. But like maybe like before charcuterie boards were like so
mainstream. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was something. And even still, like occasionally, like on weekends and stuff, like we'll like, you know, I'll go to like make lunch and like aim for a meal, and she'll still sort of do like her like slap mash together version of lunch. Yeah.
Hmm.
And then she also like owns like a retail store. So now like in the present day, like if you've ever worked retail before, you know, there's no better way to get people to walk through the door than to order lunch and attempt to go sit down and eat it.
Oh yeah.
So it feels like
they'll need help.
And then they'll need help. And it's like, you know, as soon as you sit down and try to eat that like sub or whatever. So half the time, it's like you come home and you're like, oh, would you have for lunch today? And like, you know, me and you would be like, oh, we went out to this cool bakery.
Right.
You know, had amazing sandwiches. And she'd be like, I had 11 goldfish.
11 goldfish?
That's not enough food.
That's not enough food, Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would say like this is not like a huge difference or anything. But like when we would have dinner at our house, like it would be, I guess, like, I don't know, family style, right? Like mom would put all of the food on the table.
Yes, like kind of in like bowls, and there'd be like spoons, and you like sort of serve it onto your plate.
Yeah, like serve it on your plate, or can you pass me the rolls, can you pass me the salad kind of situation. And I don't know if this is just because the boys are like too little or because of the way our kitchen is configured, but it is there's rarely anything besides what we're eating on the table.
So like you guys would each have like a plate made.
We'll have like a plate made. Like if you want more food, you got to go back to the stove or back to the island and refill the plate and come back. Yeah. Which is like, maybe it's just because it's like, it's, you know, a lot more effort to get that many more bowls dirty or something to put it on the table. Or maybe we don't have enough table, or she doesn't think the kids will even eat that much anyway. I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, we're just waiting to the point where we can do that. But
it does feel like one of those things, like where I could see like a barrier, an invisible barrier being broken down at some point in time, where especially like if the boys are getting bigger and their appetites are expanding rather drastically.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, spooning heaps onto their plates.
Right.
You know, it feels like that would be the point in time where it's like, just bring the bowl over here. They're gonna keep needing
it. Keep eating it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one difference, which doesn't really make like a huge difference one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. But I could totally see this happening because both you and Beth eat violently fast.
Violently
fast eaters. Like my genuine theory is that you guys all have teeth that are like ever so slightly angled backwards.
So it just shovels it straight down.
Yeah. So it's like as you chew, it's sort of like the food is being like like forced into like a downward capacity.
We get very hungry.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. For sure. In a way that you don't seem to.
No, not as much. Yeah. Not as much. I mean, maybe it's just a byproduct of like growing up next to you.
Maybe.
You know? Yeah. Like
I don't know.
I mean, it's always that is like another thing that I find endlessly fascinating. Like, what would my life be like if you hadn't been there?
Oh, man. Who knows? Probably way worse.
I definitely think for sure.
Way worse.
Who would my example have been?
Right? What would you have done?
Made it all up,
just
I guess.
Just flounder around, probably.
That's exactly. I would have laid on my side like a flounder with two eyes on one side of my face.
Exactly. You had no chance without me.
No chance.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I have no idea. No idea what you'd been like. But let's see. This is another Beth ism that this is like a not necessarily like a difference in like how we live together, but just one of those things you notice over time, where like if she is making a sandwich for lunch, the moment like wherever she is standing, the moment that sandwich is complete and she is like satisfied with its construction, she will pick it up and take a bite of it.
Okay.
Immediately, before she sits down or anything like that. Sometimes just eat the whole sandwich standing right where it finished being completed.
So it's like the timer basically starts the moment that you put the top bread on.
You're like, and eating and right go. There, yeah, right yeah. there. And I'm always like for a while, this would be like a thing where I'm like, what, like you always like, you know, why don't you come sit at the table and eat, you know? But then this, it was hilarious to me that we were on vacation with her family one time, and I was like just in the kitchen, and like her mom was making a sandwich, and the exact same thing. The moment that sandwich completed, took a bite out of it. Now it's like one of those things you're just like, Well, I see what's happening all of a sudden. We're just like learning from our environment. And this is clearly a thing that was very common in your family. Just as soon as it was done, just start eating wherever you were.
We cannot escape the imprints.
You can't escape the imprints of your parents. And it's so funny because it's like, it doesn't make any difference. I don't care if you do it or whatever. But it's funny that when you find those little patterns in, like your in-laws and stuff.
No, I know. It really is. It is very interesting. And like even just here lately, I've been noticing like I am an apologizer. Like I say, like if somebody bumps into me on the street, I will apologize to them.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like as if, what was I thinking walking on this particular side of the sidewalk, as if like my entitlement to being out on the sidewalk is like less than the other person who bumped into me.
Right.
Like as if they were there first.
Right.
You know, yeah. we were both there at the same time.
We're at the same time. Clearly. So there at the same time you hit each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The exact same spot, in fact. But no, so like this is not uncommon. Like I will apologize for everything all the time and always, and I really can't help it. And so like Addison, I feel like has also started to adopt this particular thing, like where something will happen. So like the other day, the example I was giving is I have what's called hooded eyes.
Yeah.
And I think you do too.
Sure.
But like my eyes are like pretty deep set into my face, which means that like I can like literally like put my finger like above my eyeballs and there is like bone that overhangs my eyeballs, like little shades.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You got that too?
Yeah.
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 And so the other day, Addison was going to kind of like tip over and she like reached out to like grab for a handhold. And what she caught was my hooded brow.
Got it.
And so she like kind of grabbed me by the skull.
Yeah.
And it didn't really hurt me at all, but it was just extremely funny, like the way in which she was able to like catch herself on this part of my face.
Right.
And I was like, oh man. And so I sort of like exclaimed because I was like, yeah, you know, something almost just caught me in the eye. And she was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she said it like six times. And I was like, oh no.
What you've done.
It's
look
like, yes, done. Like I think it's just as funny to start to realize what things about you are things you picked up from your parents and then starting to see your personality reflected back at you from your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that is funny. I can tell you what, my kids, I would say on the minute, every minute or so, if I'm sitting on the couch, we'll find a way to jump right in like the, you know, midsection of my body.
Yeah.
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 Right. Sometimes below the belt, sometimes not, you know, whatever. Constantly. Just nonstop. And let me tell you how many sorries I've gotten for that. Just none.
It's just none.
Despite every single time it happens, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Are you an apologizer?
I mean, I think so. I think I apologize for stuff. Maybe not to the extent that you do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of a good example of like when we would have run into each other and you'd be like, oh, dude, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Let's think. I mean, surely it's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. 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 My mind's eye memory. I mean, there are moments.
Yeah. Maybe you can't hear my sorry through your own.
Oh, yeah. It's a good point. I'm probably apologizing louder.
Yeah. Louder. No, I'm sorry.
That's another really funny one that Addison is doing right now is not her big thing that like is so like her praise that she will give to people is by telling them that they are her best friend. And so like a lot of times she'll be like, Daddy, you're my best friend. And I'll be like, Addy, you're my best friend too. And she's like, no, you have to be my best friend. And it's like
one way street. Okay.
It's a one way street. Like I need to be her best friend, but she can't also be my best friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But little does she know that we are both each other's best friend.
Wow. Yeah. Little does she know. She told Beth that the other day when Beth was watching Addie at some point earlier this week, and she just informed Beth that's like, my mommy and my daddy are my best friends.
No.
I know. It's like, oh my God, you're amazing.
I know. Yep. She's just so cute.
She's a good one.
It's actually killing me lately.
It's killing you?
It's killing me in the best way. Like, I'm like, how are you so awesome?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, she's great. She's a good one.
She is just so adorable. Yep. So yeah, and we're getting ready to go to Disney here in a few weeks, which she's also able to tell me about.
So excited about Disney. So excited about it. I'm like, now that we're on this side of Christmas, I am like, every single day, I'm like, we are almost there. Ready to Disney. Like, the kids are a little bit bigger. Last night, Luke was, as ever, Tower of Terror. We're trying to hype him up for it.
Is he really going to do it?
I mean, he says so. We were like looking up how tall you had to be, and we got like a whole measuring tape out, and you're like, you're tall enough to do it. And then he was like, then we were talking about Tron because we have like one of those digital picture frames.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of pictures from the Tron trip on there.
Yep.
And he was like, am I tall enough to do that? And he's like, it's very close. It's like, maybe when you have shoes on, you will be. Maybe if we get a really nice attendant at the gate, they'll be like, yeah, he's tall enough.
He's fine.
He's fine. He's like, then he's like, how fast is it? And I'm like, it's pretty fast. It's pretty fast.
It books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 60 mph, if memory serves.
Yes. Yeah. And you get the acceleration is really.
It's voosh.
Yeah. But then that seemed like he was like, I don't know about that. But I was like, no. And then I was like, it's kind of like a race. Like, you're on the blue team and you're going against the orange team. And that seemed to excite him. The idea that you were like racing against another team.
Well, he'll be very excited because the blue team always wins.
Always wins. Every time. Undefeated.
But we shan't tell him that.
Shan't tell him. Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll get off and he'll be like, blue team won.
We won.
And they're like, no way. That's so amazing.
Yeah. Can we do it again? Or we'll be like, actually, the line's probably way too long at this point. You know, it's like a once a trip kind of ride.
It is kind of like a once a trip kind of ride. Yeah. We gotta like, you know, work it in, get in there, get out. But yep. maybe we'll do it twice. We'll see.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will.
Yeah.
I know. This is okay. So you were saying something about this. Well, do you want to talk more about Disney?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Okay. Talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, wait, was there something that you knew I was going to say?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
So maybe I don't want to talk more about Disney.
Okay.
Maybe we've reached the end of that rope.
The end of that rope. Okay, you said something earlier about like when you like run into people or like how different people are, like, you know, it's crazy when you are like, you could live with 100 different people and have 100 different experiences. No one would do things the same way.
Correct.
So sometimes I have that feeling like when I'm like walking on the street or whatever, and I'll be like, like, by definition, you're the only person who can exist in any space at once, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, so wherever you are, you are the only person in the world that is in that spot.
Okay.
You know? Yep. Like, which sometimes feels crazy to me. Like, you know, it doesn't seem that weird when you're in your house or anything, you know? But, like, I remember one time when we were invited to New York to do like a preview trailer of the Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And you and I had to, it was a great trip, but at the end of it, you and I had to wake up at like 4 a.m. to catch our Uber to the airport to get back to Virginia.
Yes.
Yes. And so we're waiting outside of the hotel, which was the Knickerbocker.
Yes.
Which was located in Times Square.
It was really cool.
Yeah. It was just like
quite the experience.
Really, really cool. But even though New York is called the city that never sleeps, and even though we were in the literal like center of Times Square, there was just no one there.
No one.
No one at all.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is often like, if you see it in the middle of the day, it's like, if you talk about it like in an existential kind of way, like the center of Times Square can sometimes feel like it's like the center of like the world.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
like this is the crossroads of a million different interests and like people and stuff. Like there's the lights everywhere and we're like standing in the middle of the street in Times Square and no one else is there. And we're just like, we're the only ones here right now.
Yeah.
We right now are the only ones in this space right now in the world. Like in this one crazy epicenter of everything, we're the only ones here. And it was just like, it was surreal, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. I think it's a really, really, really good way to describe it because you're right. I mean, like, you know, if the United States is the biggest financial force in the world, if nothing else, it's like New York City feels like it is sort of like the center for where, I don't know, everything comes from.
Yeah.
You know, like so much is being moved just because of the small geographic region.
Yeah, right.
And then the notable, the noteworthy space within.
Yes.
So we stood on top of the world.
Yeah, right there, right then. And at that point, we were the only people there. There weren't even cars on the streets, which was weird.
It was weird.
You know, it was like it's very quiet out here. It's hard to feel alone in New York City, and even harder to feel alone in Times Square.
Right.
But we were. Yeah.
Maybe we should start a documentary that is like debunking the phrase "the city that never sleeps."
Yeah.
And we go when we do like nighttime in New York City.
Nighttime in New York City.
Yeah. Just constantly. Yeah.
Right.
We live at night. We're night crawlers.
We're night crawlers of the city.
Ooh. Yeah. The underbelly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
That sounds like underneath the city. I don't know if I want to go underneath New York City. This also, not to get back to Name of the Wind, it reminds me of a section when they're exploring a forest in the story called The Eld.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool description where they're describing how maps are drawn. And they're saying, like, maps have holes in them because, you know, the person who's drawing it, like, hasn't actually covered every single portion of the map. They just know that this city's here and this city's here and there's a road there and there's a forest there. So they draw trees and they fill it in. But that doesn't mean anyone's been in that forest that's just covered in trees.
Right.
So, like, no one actually knows what's in the forest. And they come across some particular plant that, like, you know, they describe as, if it ever touches human skin, it almost immediately dies.
It doesn't tolerate folk.
But he's like, we're walking through sections of forest that probably haven't been, like, human eyes haven't laid, like, haven't, yeah, humans haven't laid eyes on this section of the world in maybe centuries. And it's like, that's crazy.
It is.
Too, you know, to think, because, like, places like that exist on Earth. Where it's just like, no one's been there. It just exists. It just exists and no one knows.
Yes. No, you're absolutely correct. And it's amazing too, because, like, and I've talked about this with, like, Instagram in the past before, but, like, sometimes you could go to, like, a really popular spot, like, of the Grand Canyon, and you can take this, like, absolutely amazing photo that looks like you're fully immersed in, you know, the nature and everything around you. But then if you turn the camera around, you see there's a line of 200 people waiting to take the exact same photo.
Right, same photo.
So it's like, it gives the perception that you are in a truly unique location. And to be fair, even 200 people being there is a very, 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 very small representation of the whole population.
Right.
So this is still, even if, like, a lot of people have this same photo, it's like minuscule in comparison to all people.
Yeah.
It's still a fairly unique experience. But you're right. Like, the idea of getting to experience, like, true, absolute wilderness that has been completely not explored, completely non-seen by humans in such a ridiculously long period of time would be kind of like an interesting magical experience.
Yeah, that totally would be. Or, like, you know, sometimes that same thing, like, you'll see people, like, the top of Mount Everest or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, once upon a time, it was almost impossible to get up there. Nowadays, there's, like, a very short season, and there will be, like, very long lines of people just, like, waiting their turn to, like, go be the ones at the top.
Right.
Or whatever. But it's like, either way, you know what? At that moment, when you're at the top, you alone are standing at the highest elevation on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, that's weird. You're the only person who's there at that moment.
You get that accolade.
You get that for a few seconds. And it's like, that, I don't know. It's so cool. Something about that is, like, very, like, I don't know. It's just like this, I can't tell you how it makes me feel. But, like, even that, it's like, I'm the only person sitting in this chair right now. You know?
Really are.
Right?
I'm looking right at you.
Looking right at me. Here I am.
Unless there are spirits in here with us.
Well, you can't count that out. But, you can't. Nothing you can do about it. So,
right.
You know, they may as well not exist.
May as well.
What are they doing about it, you know? Unless something catches fire.
So that's an important thing for everybody listening right now. You are the only person exactly where you are.
Exactly where you are. Exactly.
How about that?
I know. It's pretty cool. It's pretty unique.
You're pretty unique. You're pretty special.
Yeah.
Keep doing great work.
Keep doing it.
Anyway, I feel like that's a great place to close out today's episode.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah.
I feel like we went into some, like, weird spaces for, like, the last, like, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I mean, that's okay.
It is.
We were exploring the unexplored of our minds.
Exactly.
Trying to see if we came up with anything cool.
Yeah.
Any kind of cool plants that don't tolerate folk.
It feels like there must be a name for the realization that you're the only person where you are, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must be a thing.
Yeah.
If not, we should coin it.
We should coin it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Something to think about. Anyway, guys, as always, if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture and just selecting any of those tiers. Actually, in fact, if you didn't know, that is how we determine who the one true host is each and every week.
That's true.
All the tiers we have allocated for both Buzzy B and Jazzy J, and each of your signups is a vote inside of each of those particular columns. So if you want to try to go and contribute to who is the one true host, you can do so at patreon.com. It's of course linked in all the descriptions down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.